Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. Glad to have you for this Wednesday edition of the show. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. First off, lots of weather yesterday. I know a lot of schools got out early. All games and activities basically across the area were canceled last night. And thankfully, that was the case because I guess around 5:30 or so, a very, very strong line of storms moved through the area. Seemed to be really strong. I could see it building in the northern part of New Albany. It went along 265 into Jeffersonville, and a lot of damage in the River Ridge area, the northern part of Jeffersonville there at the 265 interchange. I think three or four semis flipped on the new bridge coming in to Jeffersonville. Lots of damage we could see from some of the helicopters on the news stations last night in a couple big neighborhoods in Jeffersonville. And according to Mike Moore last night, the mayor there in Jeff, a good friend, I saw that nobody injured, nobody hurt, nothing serious. And that is really good news for very thankful for that. But we're getting into the springtime with weather and also with baseball and softball and outdoor sports, and so you got to be vigilant of that kind of stuff. And of course, schedules are going to change and games are going to get canceled because of weather, but you don't want the severe stuff. That's what's scary. That's what is a major issue. That storm, I think, went across the river into Oldham County, Kentucky, caused some damage to the high school there and a lot of neighborhoods in Oldham County, some in Metro Jefferson County, Louisville as well. So just thankful that's behind us. We know we'll have more of it, but glad no one from reports that are out there was at least seriously hurt, and our thoughts and prayers with a lot of our friends in Jeffersonville today, especially coming off of last night's storm damage. Let's look at the show lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment one. Lots of headlines to get to from yesterday and last night. Had an opportunity to get home early and watch some basketball. And, boy, Indiana State is really fun to watch. I'm going to talk more about the Sycamores here in just a second. Also, some transfer portal news that we'll get into. The McDonald's game was last night, so got to watch a couple basketball games and tell you some thoughts from that and maybe some things to be a little bit worried about from a Big Ten perspective with some of the really good players coming into the Big Ten Conference next season. And also yesterday, an important day for high school sports. The IHSAA announced reclassifications based on enrollment gains and drops and the success factor formula. And we've got a number of changes with basketball and other sports as well here locally. So I'll try my best to go through those here in the headline segment as well. And more. And then coming up later in the show, it's Wednesday, so Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star is always with us. Dustin is the beat writer for the Pacers, is his main topic of coverage. But we'll cover a little bit of everything today from a basketball perspective with Dustin when he is with us here on the program. And then Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll check in a little bit later in the hour. We'll go through some of the reclassification news from yesterday, and we'll also talk a little bit about the start of the high school baseball season, which is about a week and a half underway at this point, at least with official games. And we'll talk about some of the early results and some of the big games that are coming up and maybe who Josh thinks will be the top handful of teams in Clark and Floyd counties this season. That's the lineup. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Try them today for great sandwiches and salads and soups that are made fresh daily. They'll surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. So give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. All you got to do is get your phone out, open up a text message, type in this number, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. You can send in questions, comments. It could be IU. It could be anything basketball right now. So much good stuff going on. Basketball games every night, it seems. And we're headed into a big weekend of Final Four women's and men's games. And, of course, national championship games on Sunday and Monday. I can't wait for those, but also hate for them to be over. Love to get your thoughts on all of it. Do you think Purdue can win? Are you an Indiana fan rooting for Purdue? Are you an Indiana fan that hates to see the success that Matt Painter and Purdue are having? Love to hear from you. 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. You can sign up for Thornton's Refreshing Rewards and receive 25 cents off per gallon plus great weekly fuel offers you just can't pass up. Download the app today on the App Store or on the Google Play Store as well. It's the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app. And send us a text on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Let's talk about Indiana State. They are so darn fun to watch. They are a really, really good mid-major college basketball team. There's a lot of high-major teams that they either have beat or could beat this season. 32 wins after the victory over Utah in the NIT semifinal game last night, with one more win, which would have to be a win over Seton Hall later this week in the NIT championship game. That would tie the Sycamores with the Larry Bird-led team that lost to Magic Johnson and Michigan State in the national championship game. So it's been a record-breaking season. There's no question about that. The final step for this Indiana State team and Coach Schertz is to try to win the NIT to match that Larry Bird team record with 33 wins on the season. And it's going to be tough. They're going to take on Seton Hall, who is really good. More on them in just a moment. But with Indiana State, what makes them so fun to watch? Have you had a chance to watch them? Do you agree with me? Five players in double figures. I thought about Jeffersonville, their high school team. They had four or five guys on and off this season that averaged in double figures. When you have a team with multiple threats, multiple weapons, and not just two or three, but four or five, it makes the team more fun to watch. It makes the team more fun to pull for because you really don't know who is going to step up and lead the way in a particular game. So that obviously is a big boon for the Sycamores. But they've got great ball movement. They move the ball. They pass the ball. They space the floor so well. It's almost a thing of art, a thing of beauty, if you really enjoy basketball and the way it all plays out. So I think that's something else that attracts me to the Sycamores. And then the big man they've got, Robbie Avila. He is just awesome. He doesn't look athletic at all at first glance, but he's sneaky good. 6'10", 240. He's got Nikola Jokic. I guess I'm saying his last name right. Jokic, maybe. He's got that kind of game, as far as I'm concerned, with what he can do, not just as a scorer, but a passer as well. Avila has been a unique character, I think it's the best way to put it, in college basketball this season. And he's gotten so much media attention and publicity. I can only imagine what it would have been like had Indiana State actually made the NCAA tournament and won a couple games in the tournament. I think he would have been one of the players of the tournament. He just is a guy that seems to attract a lot of interest with his goggles and the way he goes about things, and then how good of a player he is and how well he passes the basketball as such a big guy. So, but Seton Hall in the championship game, they are really good. I don't think there's any question that Seton Hall would probably get my vote for the first team that was left out of the tournament or the first four that should have been put in. Indiana State is right there with Seton Hall, I think, is the two teams that should have gotten into the NCAA tournament, at least the first four in Dayton. So it's rightfully so that the two number one seeds from each side of the bracket are meeting up at Hinkle Fieldhouse on the campus of Butler for an NIT championship later this week. And Hinkle Fieldhouse, such a historic place. I saw last night they recognized a lot of the Milan 1954 state champion winners, of course, that were still there, Bobby Plump and others. Neat to see those guys get to come back to the place where they won it all back in 54, and the place be sold out and rocking, probably a lot like it was on that night for the high school state championship. But wonderful to see Hinkle Fieldhouse back in the rotation with the NIT, or I should say in the rotation for the NIT championship. I hope they have it there every year. I'm not sure what the plan is, but I think it's just an underused facility in our state. I mean, Butler gets to play all their games there, but there aren't as many other things that, from a basketball perspective, that you would think might be in that kind of facility that's of that size and that history, and all the just the look and the feel of it is so different and so good. But just good to see Indiana State win and move on, and let's hope they can beat Seton Hall. I think it's going to be a big challenge. I think it will be an absolutely fantastic NIT championship game. But it has been, that's been a bonus in March, a really fun bonus to get to watch Indiana State. I was bummed when they didn't make the tournament, but it probably has worked out for the better. Their fans have really gotten behind them. Hinkle Fieldhouse is already sold out for the championship game later this week, and they probably have made a run maybe further than what they could have done, I would think, in the NCAA tournament. And so let's hope that they can bring it in against a good Seton Hall team later this week. Also, when that game went off, immediately after the McDonald's All-American from Houston game came on television from down in Houston, first off, it was actually a really competitive game throughout. It wasn't a blowout. There weren't scores of 150 or 60 points per team. It was a very normal basketball score, with the East team winning 88-86 in the McDonald's game last night. Obviously, first and foremost, for an Indiana show, we were watching Bryson Tucker, the commit in 2024 that just committed to the Hoosiers last week. He only had 12 minutes and 2 seconds of playing time last night. He was 1 of 3 from the field. It was a 3-point shot that he hit. He had one turnover. That's all that showed up for him in the box score last night. Very similar stat line to Liam McNeely, who only got 12 minutes and 2 seconds of playing time as well, and only had 3 points last night for his team in the McDonald's game. Of course, McNeely, a former Indiana commit that everyone pretty disappointed in, that is not coming to Indiana, still uncommitted at this time. In fact, he was the only uncommitted player in the McDonald's game last night. But so Tucker, I'm not sure, he didn't get a lot of time. He does look like a big-time player from his build and just a little bit we saw of him. So I think he will be a great addition to Indiana, but did not get a lot of opportunity last night for whatever reason in the McDonald's game. But I do want to mention Derek Queen, who Indiana was very much involved with and on, going to Maryland, was co-MVP along with Dylan Harper, who is going to Rutgers. And then you got Ace Bailey, who is also going to Rutgers. My goodness, two Rutgers players in the McDonald's game. How good could those guys be as a tandem next season for Rutgers and Queen going to Maryland? There are some really good players entering the Big Ten Conference next season. Then you've got Boogie Fland, who's going to Kentucky. Indiana was very involved with him until the final hours of his recruitment. Of course, Neely, I mentioned him already, uncommitted now after decommitting and getting out of his commitment to Indiana. But, you know, Indiana, one thing you got to say about Mike Woodson, he's landed some big names. He's been really great late in the spring with recruiting when the changes happen or late decisions are made. He has got Indiana in. He and his staff has got Indiana in with a lot of these big names. And you're going to swing and miss on some of the big ones. You're not going to get all of them. But he very consistently has been in with, you know, 4, 5, 6 players from the McDonald's game every year. And so we'll see now how Bryson Tucker does as a commit to Indiana, but definitely an interesting player, and was looking to see a little bit more of him last night in the game, but only 12 minutes or so of playing time last night. We did not get to see a whole bunch from him. Transfer portal news to talk about today. Iowa transfer Tony Perkins, he's cut his list down to 6 schools. He announced on his Instagram account yesterday, Indiana, Missouri, Oregon, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. So the Hoosiers in the running. I think a lot of people think IU has a great chance to land him. Also, a Big Ten note, South Carolina transfer guard Michi Johnson, who was at Ohio State, he went to South Carolina, had a terrific year. I think he averaged just about 15 points a game for the Gamecocks. After entering the portal, he's announced he's going back to Ohio State. So a really big pickup for new coach Diebler and the Buckeyes, and really for the Big Ten next season. And speaking of the transfer portal, it's hard to not keep up or hear about Louisville basketball right now with new coach Pat Kelsey dominating the headlines here in Kentuckiana. But how about this? The last remaining player on the roster that was on scholarship from last season, the 23-24 season, Tylar Johnson, he entered the transfer portal Tuesday. That means that every player on a scholarship for Kenny Payne last season has at minimum at least entered the transfer portal. I think it's possible that some of those guys come back. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, who Indiana tried to get involved with, he's got his list down to three or four schools, and a return to Louisville is a possibility for him. But I think probably good news for Pat Kelsey to have a clean slate to work with. It's going to take him some years to build into it, I would think. I know he's went to the College of Charleston, is going to bring over some players that were with him there last season that he thinks can play at the high major level. But basically, it's a total rebuild for new coach Pat Kelsey, and it's going to be really interesting in this new world of the transfer portal and older college basketball teams to see what Louisville looks like in year one, two, and three under Pat Kelsey, basically getting started with a clean slate for the upcoming season for his first year at Louisville. Another note that will affect the Big Ten, or could affect the Big Ten for next season, Arkansas coach Eric Musselman, he has emerged as the main candidate to take the USC, the Southern California job, could be in the Big Ten next season as a head coach. I believe Keith Smart, IU legend, still his assistant at Arkansas. You wonder if he will follow Coach Musselman to USC if he were to take that job. High school note that I want to mention, try to keep up with this here. It's a lot to talk about. But new classifications were released Tuesday by the IHSAA. Here's some basketball changes that you'll want to know about with local teams. These changes due to enrollment. Henryville in Class 2A is going to drop down to 1A next season in boys and girls basketball, I believe volleyball as well. Salem, just a little bit outside of Clark and Floyd County, they're going to drop from Class 3A to Class 2A in basketball. And then Jennings County, just a little bit to our north, but a member of the Hoosier Hills Conference, a member of the Great Seymour Sectional, they are going from 4A down to 3A because of enrollment. So that could or will change somewhat, some way, somehow, the makeup of the Seymour Sectional for the upcoming season. Other changes locally of interest that are due to the success factor, teams winning championships, getting points as they advance in further and further to the state tournament. The Brownstown boys basketball team, they're going to go from 2A to 3A, getting more points for winning the state championship on Saturday. Scottsburg is going to go from 3A to 4A after points over the last couple years combined to bump them up a class. Scottsburg, will they replace Jennings County in the Seymour Sectional for a few years? That seems like a possibility. We've got these classification assignments, but we do not have updated sectional assignments. Those will come at a later date. Other changes related to the success factor. This is really good for the Silver Creek girls basketball team. After a championship in 2021 and a runner-up finish in 2022 in Class 3A, they had to move up to 4A. Competition is a lot different, a lot tougher. Silver Creek, now that they're a couple years out from that, will drop back to 3A for next season, and I think they'll be a legit contender for over the next couple years for a 3A state championship. The Lanesville girls, after back-to-back state titles, they will move from 1A to 2A next season, and the real benefactor of that locally could be Borden, because the Borden girls are good. They're going to be good again next season and for the next few years, and they won't have Lanesville, who's been the stopper in their sectional, to contend with and maybe have a chance to get out of that sectional and make their own run into the 1A basketball state tournament. There was a lot of movement, but a couple other things I've jotted down. Providence volleyball, after back-to-back 3A championships, is going to return to 4A. That's nothing new for Coach Parika and Providence volleyball. They've been in 4A before because of success, and they'll be back there for at least the next couple years. And then Charlestown football is going to go from 3A to Class 4A, which is interesting because that likely will put, or definitely should put, Charlestown and rival Silver Creek in the same football sectional as well, which is a good rivalry matchup there in the postseason if that one works out. That's a look at our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Producer Justin says Trent Perry, the USC Southern California decommit, also hasn't said where he's going yet, as we discussed yesterday. Thank you for the reminder. Maybe Indiana will get involved with him. We will see. And a couple text on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Texter says, an IU fan here pulling for Purdue, which is very hard to do, but I'm doing it for two reasons. Number one, I think it makes our conference look a little better. How long has it been since we had a team in the Final Four? And number two, happy to see Trey Kaufman Wren, a local player and such a great person, having success this season. I would add, I agree 100% with both of your takes there. I would add number three for me. I love Matt Painter. I know him personally, have known him since he was an assistant coach at Southern Illinois. A great guy, a personable guy. I think a wonderful coach, and I'm thrilled to see him have success. Whether it's Purdue or Indiana or wherever he was at, I will always be pulling for Matt Painter. So those are my three reasons to say, go ahead, Purdue, see if you can get to the championship game and see if you can win it. I know there's a lot of Indiana fans that definitely would disagree with that. I totally get that. Thornton's text line open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. We'll head to a break. We're back with Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star. We will catch up on all things IU, the portal, NIT, Indiana State, the Pacers, you name it. We'll cover it. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Wednesday show. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450 is the number. Again, 502-414-1450. Let's go to the Thornton's text line and read a few texts here. Texter says, in my opinion, all those McDonald's All-Americans are nice to think about. They make you think you're getting the best, but watching Kentucky crash and burn with them has changed my mind. I think a person can build a better team out of the portal with upperclassmen. The experience and body changes from an 18-year-old to a 20-year-old is definitely huge. Thank you, Texter, for the message. I agree. I think, obviously, it's being proven with this Final Four that the transfer portal and building an older and experienced and bigger team is the way to go. There is no question about it. But I do want to say that I will be shocked if Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper do not totally change Rutgers here, at least for the next season, depending on what they do with their NBA hopes. I know hard to see those guys not making a big impact, especially for a program like Rutgers that, you know, they've been good at times here recently, but they're not used to getting that level of player, at least two of them in the same class for sure. Another texter says, I'm a diehard IU fan, but there are 10 Hoosiers on that Purdue team. I'm pulling for them. Just don't beat the spread because I'm betting on North Carolina State. I hear you there with your message. And that's another reason. Texter earlier had a couple really good reasons as an IU fan why he was going to support Purdue. I added because Matt Painter is such a good dude to that list. But there are a number of in-state guys on the team, and it's hard to pull against guys that are Indiana high school basketball alumni that had great careers here in our state and now collectively are trying to help one of the big high major schools in our state. So good luck, Purdue, this weekend in the Final Four. And thank you for the text as well. Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star with us right now as we talk all sorts of basketball topics. And Dustin, to get it started here, let's talk about the Pacers because the NBA playoffs are just around the corner.
Yeah, so obviously got they're down to, I think, six games. They play tonight against Brooklyn, and it's tight. I mean, I think Miami won last night. Philadelphia won last night. Philadelphia got Joel Embiid back, so that obviously changes the calculus for the last couple weeks of the season. So it's going to be extremely tight. I mean, going into yesterday, they were equidistant between the number three seed and the number eight seed. Basically, they were 2.5 back of third, 2.5 back of eighth. So, I mean, a lot of things can still happen. This weekend becomes really interesting for them. I think, Brooklyn, I think tomorrow or tonight is a game they really need to win. And over the weekend, they get Oklahoma City on Friday. And obviously, Oklahoma City is still very much in the mix, trying to win the get the first seed in the Western Conference. They and Minnesota are both a half game back of Denver. I mean, that's just an absolute dogfight for a one seed. I feel like I haven't seen something that close for the number one, for the number one in either conference in a long time. And then they get Miami on Sunday in a 5 o'clock kind of matinee game. That's, I think, really, really important. They've got a half game lead on Miami for the sixth seed, which is really important because that keeps you out of the play-in. So a lot of things can still happen. The Knicks lost last night, so they're only a game and a half up from fifth. Orlando's in fourth. Orlando and the Knicks are tied. A lot of things can happen for the Pacers down the stretch. Very interesting place, but obviously, good for them that they are, they're now settled that they can't finish any worse than eighth. So they might be in the play-in round, but they'll at least be in an advantage position in the play-in round. They got a really good chance of at least getting a shot to have a best-of-seven series.
Good. Hard to believe the NBA season is in its final weeks or so, I guess you'd say, of the regular season, and that the playoffs are around the corner. I know a lot of people excited about the Pacers that maybe a year ago at this time weren't paying attention or weren't as excited. And so let's hope that they have some success here down the stretch. Dustin, I know your travels covering the Pacers keep you busy and that you're doing the best you can to keep up with all the March Madness at the college level. But have you had a chance to see this Indiana State team at all that is winning the hearts of Indiana fans and I think people across our state, playing a very good, efficient style of basketball? I went through some reasons earlier today why I think they are so fun to watch. They move the ball. There are multiple scores that can attack you from different angles. You never know on which night who's going to be the leader for this Sycamore team. But they are fun to watch, and they have become this season a very, very good mid-major college basketball team. And I think the matchup with Seton Hall later this week for the NIT championship is going to be a heck of a battle.
Yeah, and absolutely. I haven't had a lot of chance to watch them, but I mean, just looking at the box score from last night, I think hang 100 on Utah, to get into this thing. I mean, obviously, they're taking this serious. I mean, I think they feel like they probably were most unjustifiably left out of the NCAA tournament. I think there are some teams I think that look at those scenarios and are just never really in it in the NIT. But Indiana State, obviously, it's been a while since they've had any kind of, national level success, and they still look at this as a big time opportunity to show that they did belong and they should have been in there, and that there was still something they could celebrate by advancing and getting far in the NIT. You look at this, box score, it's really remarkable. They shot, almost 57% from the field, 22 assists on 37 buckets. Robbie Avila, just from what I've seen, highlights and a little bit of watching games, has been just a tremendous player. I mean, he was incredible last night, 26 points on 11 of 14 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, he's an interesting looking character, but he's some kind of player. Whatever you want to say about him, he can seriously play basketball. So, they're a very fun team and a really fun story. I mean, it's nice to see. I think it's always nice to see one of the Indiana mid-majors, pop up and do something beyond what people are expecting, because you obviously see the whole state get behind those kind of teams. And obviously everybody's got their allegiances from, Indiana or Purdue, and certainly Butler has theirs. You think back to when Butler made its, initial runs, and then everybody kind of jumped on board there. And I think Indiana State is kind of having that moment too. Tough scenarios to whether or not they'll be able to keep their coach, but the product out there is a lot of fun to watch right now for sure.
Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star is my guest. Speaking of in-state basketball, really interesting to see Indiana with all of these available scholarships target so many players in the transfer portal right now that have Indiana backgrounds that played high school basketball in our state. And I think there's been a cry for years for IU to do what Purdue is doing and to get more players, more shooters, more fundamentally sound players from the great state of Indiana high school basketball into the program in Bloomington. What do you make of Indiana targeting a lot of guys like Tony Perkins, who I mentioned earlier in the show has cut his list to 6 out of the portal? Indiana, one of those 6. Leland Walker, another player from Indianapolis that is at Eastern Kentucky, who's considering Indiana now. Connor Hickman, former Bloomington South player, now at Bradley. He's looking to level up for his final year of eligibility and is considering Indiana. And there are other examples as well. But what do you make of Indiana getting involved with some of these in-state guys out of the transfer portal?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly important. I think when it's it's certain, like when you have so many guys go in the portal, you have to sort of figure out, okay, who can you get? You know, because it's like, all right, what are they going to be looking for? And like you kind of never know, but you have to be able to focus your attention relatively quickly, and that's hard. I mean, like because you know when you're dealing with high school players, you obviously have their entire high school career to get on board, and you know, you can offer them in ninth grade, you can offer them in 10th grade, you can follow them for 3 years, you can pull that offer if you don't feel like they're developing the way that you want to see them develop, or you could say, hey, we're giving you this offer on, you know, like the presumption that you're going to get better, but one way or another, you get to follow them, and you know, they get to look around, and you get to look around, and like there's a process and time, and everybody's got a chance to really think about what they really want. You know, in the portal, I mean, you have like a very compressed amount of time to make impressions on people and get a sense of what they want and then get a sense of who you are. So it's really difficult. So, I mean, I think one of the things that you have to do is you do have to go after, you know, in-state guys because you at least have that advantage. You can say, you know, sort of check a box as to, like, what's your reasoning for going after this person. And so it makes sense to me that they would go that direction. And as a whole, I think to your point, I mean, like, I think they're It is always, I think, the entire time I've been sort of observing, the IU basketball program, it's just been fascinated to see how each coach has tried to strike a balance between what you want in-state and what you need to be able to go out of state to get. Because I don't think that Indiana can be what it wants to be if it's only recruiting the state, but I also don't think it can be what it wants to be if it doesn't recruit the state. And so you have to, you know, manage to strike this balance where you're going and getting, you know, national talent, you know, like top-level players that are going to be pros, but also surround those guys with really good role players. And, you know, there usually are a lot of good ones in state, but you have to be willing to go out of state to get them too. And I think that's something I got to talk to Matt Painter a good bit about recruiting, when he was, when I was on, when Purdue was part of my beat at The Athletic. And, you know, he just said, he just stopped focusing on where he was getting players and really just started focusing on what he wanted, just in terms of a skill set. I mean, he's like, I want to get the best shooter in the Midwest every year. If I got to go Ohio, that's fine. You know, I remember when he got Dakota Mathias. You know, that was a guy he really focused on. That was a guy he really, really wanted. He went out and got him. And I think, you know, Mathias is an Ohio guy. And he was like, okay, what, wherever he's from in the Midwest, you know, I feel like I've got to, you know, keep it relatively regional. But I don't think he has to be from the state just to say he's from the state. Now, if Fletcher Lawyer is the best shooter in the state, that's, you know, in the Midwest, and he happens to be from Indiana, that's the guy I want. So I think that's the thing that Indiana really has to be able to do in the portal, but also just in its high school recruiting it should recruit the region better. It should recruit the state better, but it also really has just have a sense of what skill sets it wants, and have an idea of a vision that it's building towards. And that's more than it being in state, you know, Matt Painter had a vision of the kind of players he wanted, and a lot of them just happened to be around for him to go get them.
Dustin Dopierak, the Indianapolis Star. We're talking IU in the portal, in-state players, the Pacers, a lot more here in this segment today. I want to switch gears and talk about the McDonald's All-American game last night. And I thought Texter, that just had a message here at the start of your segment, was very astute and correct, that I'm not sure the McDonald's, it's fun to watch, and those guys are talented. There's some good players coming into Rutgers and the Big Ten Conference, and Bryson Tucker, a McDonald's All-American, committed to IU last week. That's a big get for Mike Woodson, so I don't want to downplay that or take that away. But there was a time where the McDonald's All-American game was a preview of what Kentucky's team looked like next season, or what some of these schools that really focused on one-and-done players look like for the next season. I sense now that we're into the portal a few years, if you look at Final Four teams in this year's NCAA tournament, I just don't sense the same feeling when I watch the McDonald's game, that this is definitely the future of college basketball. There will be some good players move from that game to their respective schools, and I'm sure have great careers for a year or more, but it seems like we're slowly getting away from the one-and-done mentality that people like John Calipari and others really tried to make the way to build a college team. We're getting away from that, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing, obviously, it's more difficult, especially with the portal. I think Matt Painter had a phrase. A lot of people have used this phrase. Matt Painter used it among them, but you want to get old and stay old. Get, you know, on some level, being able to do that by the portal makes it easier to do. You know, you can go, when your guy graduates, you can go get, you know, another guy that's a senior or a grad student or something like that, that allows you to stay old. But it's tough to do that. You are better off at the end of the day to have, like, your best option, I think, but it's just really super hard to pull off, is have a bunch of guys that get to stay together, you know, that put 2 and 3 or 4 years together, and you have a couple seasons in a row where you have the same starting five. It's really hard to do that, and it's harder to do that with the portal, but that's what makes your best team. But you are probably going to be a better chance if you have a group of, you know, a mix of guys you've had for a couple of years and portal guys, and, you know, rather than building it all on freshmen. It's really difficult when you get into this state. And I think it was Jay Wright, you know, who said it about Calipari, that, like, he's seeing it now that you can't do it anymore. And Calipari, you know, in his defense, had built some teams that were less freshman dominated than this one was. I mean, he had obviously, I think, changed gears a little, you know, when got a guy like Oscar Tshiebwe over the last couple of years, you know, prior to this season, you know, from West Virginia. I mean, he had, you know, relied on the portal a little bit more as well, and got some guys there and developed some players that way. So he hasn't completely bought into it, but I think he just really, really liked this class, went all out with it. It was a fun team to watch, and then it just, you know, hit the rocks, you know, against Oakland in the first round of the tournament. I mean, that wasn't a bad team. You know, that was a fun team to watch. They weren't bad, but, you know, I definitely think, like, obviously, you can't look at it and say that these guys just are going to totally determine how the, you know, college basketball looks. But, hey, I mean, somebody's got to go get these players. These guys are too good for them not to go someplace. And so somebody's got to recruit them. Somebody's got to, you know, bring them onto the team. Somebody's got to put them in a position to do something, you know, spectacular, because otherwise, you know, like, they probably are going to be one of them, a good bit of them. And, you know, somebody's going to at least take whatever production they're going to be willing to give. And, you know, again, it's about having, I guess, a structure that fits that they can step in an overall good, you know, infrastructure and environment to make it work. You know, I mean, Cooper Flagg is going to go to, you know, Duke, and there's still going to be some star players left over from this group. And he and Isaiah Evans are going to go there and, you know, make some big impacts. They're going to go pretty far in the tournament. You don't know exactly how far, but, you know, they're going to do something. Cooper Flagg is going to be a pro and maybe the number one overall pick in 2 years. And, you know, Dylan Harper is going to be right up there, and Ace Bailey is going to be right up there, and they are going to make Rutgers a lot better. And, you know, Bryson Tucker is going to matter for Indiana, whether or not he has the same kind of impact that Jalen Hood-Schifino did. You know, you don't know. Or even Kel Ware is a, you know, one, you know, second-year guy out of the portal. I mean, Derek Queen's going to matter for Maryland, you know, certainly. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be their whole team, but he's going to make a difference. So, you know, it is definitely not the case that, you know, like, again, like in the John Wall days, where you're like, wow, Kentucky is going to be able to build this whole thing. You know, it was different. But now, I mean, there are more reasons for players to stick around in college basketball. You know, it's harder for big guys to go to the pros. So, I mean, you know, the Armando Bacots, the Hunter Dickinsons, the Zach Edies of the world stick around a little bit longer. So, I mean, there becomes a more of you know, the Trace Jackson Davis is even, you know, becomes more of a value on getting big guys that will stick around. So, yeah, I mean, it isn't as determinant of an event in terms of what you're looking at and saying, well, this is what the league is going to, you know, college basketball is going to be like next year. But these guys are still good. You know, all of these guys are going to matter for the school that they're going to, you know, big time. And no one's going to be upset that they have these players next year.
Dustin Dopierak, the Indianapolis Star. Dustin, always great to catch up. We covered a lot of ground today and look forward to doing it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, a couple things I want to get to here before we head to a commercial break. Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Texter says, I'm an IU fan first, but love the state of Indiana hoops. I'm one that thinks we have a special thing in this state, so I'm pulling for the Boilermakers and the Sycamores. What a cool deal. Indiana teams have a chance to win the NCAA and the NIT tournament. Yeah, that really didn't think of it that way, but it's true. The Sycamores in the NIT championship, they easily could win that. It is going to be a tough game, I think, against Seton Hall. And Purdue, not the favorite to win it. I think maybe the second best favorite to win it behind Connecticut. But I do think Purdue, I would really be surprised if they don't get to the national championship game coming up on Monday night. So good luck to both of those teams. And thank you, Texter, for the text on the text line. Some news here. Stanford freshman guard, I believe it's Kanan Carlisle. He entered the transfer portal back in mid-March, one of the first days that the portal was open, I should say. He averaged 11.5 points per game last season for Stanford, was a top 50 recruit coming out of high school. He, according to Joe Tipton with On3 Sports, is going to take an official visit to Indiana coming up on April 19th. So another very interesting player in the portal that's from Stanford, you know, a school that obviously is a good one when it comes to basketball, going to consider Indiana for next year. So that is interesting to follow. Cannon Carlisle, add that name to the radar when it comes to Indiana tracking prospects from the transfer portal. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back for a quick convo with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk about the reclassification announcements that came out yesterday from the IHSA and how that affects some of our local high school basketball and sports programs. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday show. This is going to be a quick chat with Josh Cook, our friend from the News and Tribune, sports editor there. Josh, yesterday we got an announcement from the IHSA with classifications moving forward for the next few seasons. And some of our local teams in different sports, there's going to be some movement. And I guess maybe the biggest locally with multiple sports was Henryville because of enrollment going from 2A in a lot of sports down to 1A in boys and girls basketball and volleyball as well.
Yeah, and I know that was good news to those Centerville coaches, especially Jared Hill. You know, his they've been playing in the 2A section for the last couple of years against Providence and Brownstown Central, you know, two of the best teams in the state. So, you know, that's a little bit of a relief now to drop down to 1A, but it's not easy at 1A because you got Christian Academy and Borden and those kind of schools, but it's a little bit, more negotiable than it was in 2A up there against some of those powerhouses. But, I think it's a good move for Henryville, obviously, against schools, more like its size. So, you know, it's volleyball and boys and girls basketball teams are able to compete against, you know, those kind of schools now in the postseason. So I think that was good for the Hornets especially.
Josh, I went through a lot of the changes, especially the basketball changes in our headline segment today. But I do want to put this out there. When the paperwork came out, Providence was listed as 1A in basketball, but after talking with Ryan Miller, it was just a misprint. Providence Cristo Rey, which I think is in Indianapolis or that area, they had them in Providence reverse. So Cristo Rey, Providence Cristo Rey 1A, Providence here locally in Clarksville still in 2A. But I saw a lot of text messages and had a lot of calls from local coaches saying, "What in the world is going on here?"
Yeah, me too. That was funny. Yeah, I was texting back and forth with Ryan too, and he said he got a lot of calls and texts yesterday about it. But he said it was just a delayed April Fool's prank, I guess, unintentionally by the IHSAA. And the Providence is still going to be in 2A in boys and girls basketball. But yeah, that would have been something to see the Pioneers drop down to Class A with Borden and Christian Academy and Rock Creek and all those other teams. But now they'll still be in 2A, and they've had a good run here the last few years. See if they can. Now they got Brownstown out of their sectional again, so maybe they can get back to winning sectional titles. It obviously won't be easy with Southwestern and some of the other teams in there, but I think now it's definitely more possible now that Brownstown is back up to 3A. But it was definitely interesting. I'm sure Ryan had a fun time fielding calls and texts yesterday about that.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, we've got a lot of high school stuff to catch up on, whether it's the end of the basketball season or classification stuff from the IHSA, and then even high school baseball, the spring sports season underway now, about a week and a half into that season. We'll get more into baseball especially, but in the final couple minutes we have, take us through the area. Give us your vote for preseason top teams in Clark and Floyd County.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start in Class 4A, I think, with Jeffersonville and Floyd Central should both be really good. And, and New Albany should definitely be improved. Jeff won the sectional last year, and I think they should be right there again this year. They've got, it's all about pitching in the postseason. I think they may have, some of the best pitching in this area. So, and Floyd has some very good pitching too. So I wouldn't be surprised to see either one of those two teams win the sectional. And then, like I said, New Albany is definitely going to be improved this year as well in Team Redford's second season. But, then in 3A, you've got defending state champion Silver Creek. They finally get to play. They finally got some home games this year. I figured they would just play all their home games at Clarksville Little League, since that worked out so well for them last year. But now they're actually going to play. They've actually played some games on a new field, so they should be one of the top teams in 3A again. Obviously they had some graduation losses, but they've got several starters back from last season and some other good players returning. And Charlestown's also improved in 2A. I mean 3A, excuse me. And then 2A, you got to look at Providence. Providence is always going to be a factor, I think. In the they should be a really good team, and they should have a shot at sectional and maybe regional titles again. They made it to the regional last year and lost there to Brown South Central, so I think they'll be in the mix as well. And then Class A, you got Borden and some of the other local schools. Borden's always good and has been in the postseason. Eric Stotts has done a great job there, and I think they'll be in contention in Class A as well.
All right, Josh Cook, sports editor, News and Tribune. I'll see you out soon at a baseball game. We'll talk next Wednesday. Enjoy the remainder of the NCAA tournament, and we'll talk again soon.
That's right. Go Boilers.
Absolutely. Boilermakers and the Sycamores still alive. The Boilermakers in the NCAA Final Four, the Sycamores in the NIT Championship game. Have a great Wednesday. Looks like we've got great weather after some severe stuff yesterday. We'll be back Thursday with Alex Bozich, Steve Kerberg, and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.